Welcome back to another edition of the Stros Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Perez. On deck for today, we will be talking about Jared Cozart being shut down. We'll be talking about the series with the Mariners, the starting pitchers, and Eric Bedard getting back into the rotation. All that and more right after this.
There it is! The Astros have won the Central Division title. It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Wide drive right center field! That's number 3,000!
Here we are again, Lee. We're in September, the middle of September. The season's almost over. It's gone by in a flash, just like that. I really can't believe it, but how do you feel about this Mariners series that we just swept through Seattle with?
Dude, okay. It's hard to get excited about wins, you know, especially when the Astros are as bad as they are. But that was a pretty dang good series from the Astros. Not only did they sweep, but they did it pretty single-handedly, except for the first game, which they came back in the ninth to win with some big hits from Jimmy Paredes, the wall. But, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good series. They just flat-out demolished them in the second game, and then more or less the same in the third game. It was pretty fun to watch. Pitching was awesome. Pitching won in the series. Also, I guess the bats chimed in a little bit too, which is always fun.
Yeah, I'd say the bats were a huge part of it more than anything else. Honestly, I think Jonathan Villar actually with some timely hitting in there, and Jimmy P really getting clutch in the first game of that three-game series. And I'm pretty sure everybody is aware that it was the first three-game sweep, the third sweep of the season. I believe there was a two-game and a four-game sweep as well, right?
Yes, you are correct.
Right. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, any kind of good news with the Astros is really good at this point in the year because that's really all there is. And kind of good news, I guess, would be Jared Cozart being shut down for the year after hitting his innings limit for the year. Really not too disappointed about that. It's not like last year where the Nationals shut down Steven Strasburg in the middle of a pennant race. You know, it's not stupid like that. It's, you know, conserving a young guy. Sully, I don't know if you guys follow him, but Sully Baseball, Paul Francis Sullivan, we just call him Sully, at Sully Baseball on Twitter. He speaks out heavily against babying of pitchers, and really, he's really got a great case against that, and babying pitchers leads to disaster. I mean, look at Jabba Chamberlain and there's quite a few other Clay Buchholz, I believe it was, also got babied big time. So if you think about it, babying pitchers really isn't the best. But I don't think this is the case with Jared Cozart. This is the most, as Lee said off the air, this is the most innings he's ever pitched in his entire baseball career. So I think it's best that we don't wear out his arm. And he does deserve a break. I mean, he's had an outstanding first year in the major leagues. And I think it's a well-deserved break, and it's not babying him by any means necessary or by any means at all. So I think it's just the matter of resting him and not just wasting him in his first year in the big leagues.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's not anything close to what the Nationals did. If it was, then I'd have a big-time problem with it, but I really don't at all. He's thrown the most innings, like you said, and really, I think that's had an effect on his game because if you've watched recently, his walk numbers have continued to increase and increase and increase. His arm's probably getting a little fatigued. He's not used to throwing this many innings. I'm kind of glad they shut him down, honestly, because I would not like to risk an arm injury to a young pitcher right now. And it's not – anything's not winnable for the Astros. Or let me rephrase that. The wins at this point in time don't exactly matter to the Astros. Whether Jared Cozart was going to get two or three more starts, they don't really care. You know, they wanted to shut him down. They wanted him to rest up, let him get into his offseason early, and get him on track to start the next year in the big leagues. And he probably won't have an innings limit next year, so he's going to have to do a lot of prepping so his arm didn't tire out like it did at the end of the year this year.
Yeah, and next year is going to be a big test for him. Not really a litmus test as much as it is just a I don't know if it's sink or swim because he's really got a lot of slack. You know, he's not at the end of the line. But it'd be interesting to see how he starts off getting around the summer months, I mean, about June, July. If, you know, I doubt he'd ever get sent back to AAA, but it'd be interesting to see how far he gets and what he's like at that point in time with all the innings amounted up at that point in the season. But as of right now, I think it's good that he's put aside right now, put on the shelf, as it were. And getting Eric Bedard another shot, really a guy who is probably at the end of the line, at the end of his rope as a starting pitcher. And I think it's a decent shot. I mean, it's not like there's anything at stake for the Astros. There's nothing on the line. So why not give this guy another shot? I mean, I don't think anybody else will. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Mariners or somebody out there would definitely give him a shot. But what's what harm is it going to do the Astros if you know, if this guy turns out to pick it up and maybe can be something good for the, you know, in the future?
We'll see. With Eric Bedard, he's playing for another contract. He's done after this year with his current contract. He's trying to find a spot on anybody's roster next year, whether it's the Astros again, which I don't think it'll be, or just anybody really. He hasn't had that bad of a year. The coming out of the bullpen really was not the best thing for him. I don't think he was too happy with it, and his performance definitely reflected that once he got moved back out of the rotation in favor of Oberholzer and others. But he didn't handle the bullpen role very well. He's going to get another chance to start, and I guess we're just going to have to see where it goes. I don't think anything much of it, really, because I don't think he's back with the Astros next year. But if he is, it's not a big deal whether he is or not to me, really.
Yeah, neither am I. I'd like to see I'd like to see the guy kind of do well, but it won't break my heart either way. I think it's a good chance. Mm-hmm. They're giving him definitely a good chance to sort of earn a spot somewhere else. You know, maybe get some spring training invite somewhere, and you know, that's the beginning of the road for him. But honestly, I'd like to see him do well. I'd like to see him have make something for him. Even if it's not with the Astros, just hope he gets somewhere in the major leagues. Because, I mean, Jerry Cozart, we already know he's going to be there. And the thing with Brett Oberholzer, it was kind of – Brett Oberholzer, man, a diamond in the rough, really. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast or the podcast previously, but I remember a lot of people talking bad about Oberholzer, saying that, you know, Oberholzer's not going to be this, he's not going to be that. You guys basically got a AAA guy, somebody who's just going to be a farmhand for the rest of his career and won't amount to anything in the major leagues. And watching him pitch in Corpus Christi, I'm not a scout. I'm not a pro scout or anything. And, you know, maybe I'd like to be one day if, you know, that'd be something cool to do. But when I saw Jared Cozart or Brett Oberholzer pitch, I don't know, there was something cool about it. There was something good. You know, it looked like it was more than meets the eye with that guy, because he just had something on the mound that you really don't. It's kind of hard to explain it. It's just something you'd have to see. And guys looking him on the scout, a scouting report, something on the papers, you know, you really can't get that from that kind of a report. But somebody who's got the eyeball test and can watch him on, you know, multiple occasions, like I did, like 2011, 2010, it was a good time watching him. And I'm really not surprised he's found success in the major leagues. I'm not surprised by it at all.
Well, you know, you look at his stuff. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. He doesn't have a nasty fastball, anything like that. You know, he just commands the ball very well. He keeps the ball down in the zone, which is great. He gets ground balls. He gets strikeouts. He pitches to the park. He's been really phenomenal. He really has, to say the least. And if the prospects pan out like the Astros want them to, they're gonna have so much starting pitching depth. It's just unreal. With the starting pitching that's going on, you know, you got Brad Peacock, who since coming back up for the third time has been outstanding, really. You got Jared Cozart, who was great. You got Brett Oberholzer, who was great. You got Jordan Lyles, who was great, struggled, and is now becoming – he's turning back to form, which we saw when he first came up, when he was fantastic. He's reeled off three or four good starts in a row. He's locating pretty well. He's still kind of working up in the zone a little bit, but he hadn't let that hurt him. So if the guys work out like Foltynewicz and Wojciechowski, if he can pitch like he did last year or in AAA this year, man, the Astros got some starting starting pitching depth coming up through the realms, and it's going to be crazy when it finally gets here.
Yeah, and that's something – that's certainly a problem you'd like to have because I'm not too sure how they'd feel about getting moved back to the bullpen or something like that. But, you know, you've got plenty of options, and if something goes wrong or something happens – God forbid somebody's career comes to an end, you'd have something to replace that. And I think that's what's important building a team. That's one of the building blocks that you'd have is depth. Because if you look at a lot of the good teams, Detroit, for example, not necessarily depth, but a bunch of good guys that are there. Really, Max Scherzer has been their guy on the year. And you look at for the month of September and kind of August for the last, you know, half a month, you've had Rick Porcello really doing outstanding for the Tigers. And so it's kind of what you want to model. And if you go back maybe about a decade or so, more than a decade, really, man, I'm old. You had your big three pitches for the Atlanta Braves. You had Maddux, Glavine, and why can't I remember the last one's name? Maddux, Glavine, and Smoltz. Glavine,
yeah, Maddux, there Smoltz, you go.
The last three. And you had John Rocker out of the bullpen. I mean, John Rocker, that guy. So many bad memories in the Astrodome. But nonetheless, you kind of want to build off of three guys that you have. And if you look at Detroit, they have Scherzer, Porcello, and Verlander. Verlander's kind of fallen off. But it's been a long season for that guy, and he's had to carry a lot of load for the Tigers. And thankfully, they've had a Scherzer to pick up a lot of the load. So you really want to have three guys in your rotation that you really depend on. You want to have your Glavine, Maddux, and Smoltz. So, you know, who knows what the Astros, Glavine, Maddux, Smoltz could be, but you definitely want something like that, and you kind of want a John Rocker to come out of the bullpen. And speaking of the bullpen, you might even have Josh Zide be our John Rocker.
Josh Zide, he started off pretty bad, not going to lie to you, but he's definitely picked it up a notch. He recorded his first save a couple nights ago, and he's actually looked pretty good lately. Chiajin Low, he's having a little issue. I don't know what it is with him, but if he can stay healthy, he does have some nasty stuff. Another guy coming out of the bullpen, Josh Fields, he's got a terrible ERA, but he did not have his velocity early on in the year after he came off the DL. When he's throwing 95, he's effective. When he's not, he's not effective. He gets pounded. He loses the strike zone, walks hitters, gets behind in the count, gives up bombs. I mean, he's got to have 95 to be effective. Now, the Astros, what they really need to do this offseason is think about spending some money in the bullpen because I don't know how many fans can put up with what the bullpen did this year. Again, you know what I mean? It's been rough. It really has been. And hopefully the Astros can fix that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something you want to look forward to. I'm not too sure if there'd be spending money, but I think we've got some guys in the minor leagues that might be ready to come up. You know, maybe somebody who could be a I guess trade bait would be the proper word for it to for that, you know, somebody that comes out of the bullpen. But as you said, Josh Fields, watching him do rehab here in Corpus, it was kind of hard to watch Josh Fields because the same struggles he had in the major leagues is the same kind of struggles he had down here in Corpus. Really, he got rocked easily, really shaky, and he didn't have his velocity or anything here in Corpus neither. So it was really got beat up pretty badly down here, the outings that I did get to see him. So there's really nothing better about that. And CJ Lowe, I kind of want him to do good just because – you know, that glove, man, that closed basket that he has, that's one of the coolest things ever. And he's, you know, he's seems like a pretty cool guy. So definitely want him to have a successful career, not even just in with the Astros, just in baseball in general. But, you know, maybe there's a cheap guy you can get out there, under the radar, cheap bullpen guy. I wouldn't be opposed to spending money. But I wouldn't be opposed to getting somebody out of the farm system either.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't expect the Astros to have the $20 million payroll that they had this year. I bet it rises a little bit, not much. I'm not going to say, you know, $75 million. No, maybe, you know, $30 to $40 million. I bet they're going to try to spend money on something. Not a lot of money, but they'll throw a little bit of money at someone. You know what I mean? And whether it's going to work out or not, you know, we'll have to see. But there are people that are available. They're going to probably try to buy low on some guys. You got a guy like Tim Lincecum who's available. I don't know if he would work out of the bullpen well or if they would put him in the starting rotation at first or what. He's going to be available. He's going to be a good buy low candidate. Somebody like Dan Heron, he's going to be a free agent and a buy low candidate because he's had a god awful year. You know, it's going to be, I mean, it really depends. I expect them to spend money somewhere. Not a lot. I don't expect them to get a big name player like, let's see, who's going to be a big free agent this year? Like Hunter Pence. Hunter Pence, he's not exactly a big name player, but he's going to be a free agent. I don't expect them to go that route. But I do think they will spend money on the bullpen somewhere in some capacity, whether it's getting a guy like Jose Veras, who ended up being a pretty good get for the Astros.
Yeah, Jose Veras was, I'd say, the dependable guy for the Astros. And it's kind of good to see him. I haven't really kept up with him in Detroit, really. But it was kind of good having somebody you could rely on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of hard to see him go. But hey, man, I things happen, man. It's a business. But as we run this out, we'll take a little break here for the first half of this podcast. Up next, we're going to be talking about Jose Altuve of the Affiliates Playoffs, Jonathan VR, and Jake Elmore after this.
This is Jeff Luno, and you are listening to the Stros Bros Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the break. Big shout out to Jeff Luno, though. He's listening, right?
Yeah, big shout out to Jeff Luno. Mr. Luno, appreciate that very much. Ran into him here in Corpus for the Hooks game. It was pretty cool getting to see him. I was just walking around the ballparks. I figured that'd be my last game there until next April. And so I really just wanted to get it in there. And I was playing. I ran into a couple of guys that they knew me. I mean, I didn't really know them. But they asked me to play catch, and I was playing catch with them out on the berm. And I'm just playing catch with them. And here comes Jeff Luno, you know, walking right next to me. And we looked at each other, and it took me – I don't know what to say. He was in disguise, but he, you know, he was wearing a ball cap, and he had his orange Astros polo on, and I didn't really recognize him till he started walking off. I was like, oh hey, it's him. And it was pretty cool. I talked to him, shook his hand, said hi and all that. And then at the end of the game, he recorded that little segment, which is really cool of him. So again, thank you, Mr. Luna, for all that. But moving on now, we talk about Jonathan VR. I mean, he's been really good since his call up. I wouldn't say he's been outstanding, but I'd certainly say he's gotten better.
Oh yeah, he came out first game, you know, slash two doubles, stole a base, you know, he was fantastic, right? Well, he had a little bit of a slump, but he's just picked it right back up. He's hitting .281 with a .352 OBP. He's actually doing really well. He's played in 42 games. He's already stolen 17 bases. That's pretty fantastic. He's almost drawing a walk per game. He's at 16. Oh, wait, take that back. Sorry. I don't know why I said per game. But he's at 16 walks in 42 games. He has 8 RBIs, a home run, 2 triples, and 8 doubles. So he's actually been a really pleasant surprise. The only thing that needs some work is his defense, and that was always the question. He's got the tools, definitely. He's got all the range, but has trouble making some routine plays every now and then.
Yeah, and I think this was really his first foray into the major leagues. So I think giving a full spring training this coming up next season, I think he'll handle it better. I think he'll see his defense improve.
Oh yeah, I do too. I think he improves when he matures because he's still very young. He's 22 years old, but he's stroking the ball. He's hitting the ball with authority. He's been a joy to watch, really. And I'm glad he got called up this year. I was hoping it was going to be earlier, but I was happy when he came up because I love the guy. He can play. He's phenomenal. He is energetic. He brings energy to this team that is definitely needed. When he's on the base paths, the defense cannot be asleep because he will run, and he'll run fast.
Yeah, he's really, really been under the radar as far as base running goes. I mean, but how can he be, making noise with the noise that Billy Hamilton made last year as well? Even Billy Hamilton drowned out Delino DeShields last year, who stole well over 100 bases for the Lancaster Jethawks and the High A California League Astros affiliate. He really did fly under the radar, as most of the Astros guys do. But now he's making a lot of noise. He really is. And, it's making noise for the Astros fans really to see now. Really, nobody's paying attention. But if you know baseball and you like baseball, you'd really be paying attention to Jonathan VR, because if he can get his defense down and he can improve his batting approach, this guy would be something to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could definitely be a gold glove shortstop because he has tremendous range. It's just the routine plays that he's going to make those. He's not going to be, a guy that boots routine plays all the time. I like to think of Elvis Andrews when he was younger.
That's he plays for the Rangers.
Elvis Andrews could make spectacular plays all over the field. Guess what he didn't do? He didn't make the routine plays all the time. He had trouble. He had trouble with the routine plays, probably because he was like, "Oh, I can make this easy." Looks up, bounces off his glove. It's an error. You know what I mean? I mean, it's simple stuff that he's going to get down. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, he just kind of boots it every now and again. Mm-hmm. Or he used to. Altuve VR kind of boots it every now and again, but that's an outstanding comparison, really. I don't know why that never crossed my mind. But another guy that's actually picked up and doing real well is Jose Altuve. He, in his last 10 games, he's hitting just under 400. He's got 383, and he's picking up. He's doing really well.
Yeah, pretty sure last time we had a podcast, he was hitting roughly 270. And Alex, can never think of his last name.
Sandoval.
Alex, yeah, I don't know why I can't think of his last name. Alex Sandoval called him out. Of course, his OBP still hadn't gotten up very much, but he's hitting close to 280 since Alex called him up. Well, he's now hitting close to 280. He was hitting about 270 when Alex called him out. His OBP is still very low at 312. But his OPS, which Alex really had a problem with, is creeping up to it's at 670 right now. He obviously, I don't think he'll get it above 700 this year, but he's definitely playing some good ball, and it's obviously all because Alex had to call him out.
Maybe Jose listened to the podcast. You never know. And I don't know if you heard about the big I don't want to say scandal, brouhaha in Cincinnati, where a writer from one of the newspapers, a sports writer in Cincinnati, called out Brandon Phillips on his on-base percentage, and Brandon Phillips just about had a cow. That was pretty funny. So maybe if we ever run into Jose Altuve, he'll let Alex just have it. He'll just rip into Alex. That'd be pretty funny. I'd pay to see that. But Jose Altuve, he's had a resurgence. I don't know what it is about the Astros, but the last 3 years, they always play better in August and September. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's always a guarantee that they pick it up in September. And I think this is what kind of gives me a I don't know if you remember this, but I'm gonna kind of throw myself under the bus. I back in March and April, I was kind of touting that the Astros would have a great – or not a great year this year. Great by Astros standards, but, they'd improve this year. And really they have, but it's kind of been – it's the same situation, just a different cause of it. It's the same, like the bullpen has been bad, and that's the cause, and, we have the effect here. But they have been a better team, but it's just you don't really see much of it. I'm trying to put it together here. But I think I was being a bit of a homer at the beginning of the year, just saying, oh, yeah, the Astros, do better this year. This year is going to be a lot better. than previously, and really it's because of the August and September success that I get so high on the Astros and think, oh yeah, this year, this upcoming year will be better for them. And really,
well, see,
no, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, well, I predicted them to win 63 games, I think, so they'd go 63-99. I'm not sure if that was just me wanting them to avoid 100 losses again, but really, I mean, people were calling me out for that. Like I said, they were gonna win 100 games. Like, are you seriously saying 63 wins is fantastic? Like, what is wrong with you? 63 wins is not a good year. Yeah. I thought they would win 63 games.
You know, I think I agreed with you at that point. I probably said, you know, I agree with you there. And I think at one point in time I said that they'd do better than that, which, mm-hmm. I mean, kind of not shame on me, but, you know, a little bit of my fault. But I think we were just being homers there.
Yeah.
But really, I think when you have a team like this, all you need is faith.
Mm-hmm. Really, I was banking on the bullpen not being as bad as it is. If it weren't for this bullpen, oh my God, if the bullpen would have lost 20 games instead of 38 or 39, whatever it is now, there's an 18-19 game improvement. They've lost 38 or 39 games. I cannot remember which one, but it's high 30s. That is absolutely ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, it is, and I believe that would be – that places at about, you know, maybe even 10 of those.
Mm-hmm.
We'll cut it because it's almost
– 10 of those would put us at 60 wins right now.
Yeah. 10 of those would put us at 60 wins. So there you go, man. I mean, there's your 63 right there and some change, because if they won any more. Maybe you could just attribute it to the bullpen being bad. That's kind of what it is. And I don't know if I'll be as bold next year to say that the Astros do better. But we know that it's almost a given that they'll do better next year. It really almost is, because
– I feel like that. I really do. I feel like they'll do better next year. I mean, you know, you got the young pitchers, Oberholzer, how he's performed, how Peacock has performed lately since he got recalled, how Cozart's performed. You know, it's really encouraging. And then not to mention the way Robbie Grossman has performed.
Yeah, Bob Grossman.
The way Springer may be able to perform, the way VR has performed, whether we get to see Singleton or not, the way Castro's performed, the way Matt Dominguez has performed. He's creeping up on 20 home runs in his rookie season. He's hitting .240 with 19 home runs. And I think 70-something RBIs. Jeff Luna was close. He said 260, 20 home runs, 80 RBIs. He's creeping up on 20 home runs and close, if I'm not mistaken, close to 80 RBIs. But there's just – I mean, the offense has gotten better, and I think it'll continue to improve. Yeah, see Domingo, he's hitting .242 with 20 home runs or 19 home runs and 70 RBIs.
You mean Dominguez?
Domingo, yeah.
Domingo, I guess that's a nickname. Usually when I hear Domingo, I'm referring to Santana.
Domingo Santana, yeah. But they all call him Domingo for some reason.
Yeah, it's just his name you can slap on there. That's pretty cool. But, yeah, man, that's outstanding for these guys to be doing that so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the next year's problem is going to be. I don't know where to go from this. I think it's just going to be a ride next year. Because
it's going to be crazy. I mean, it's not going to be like crazy like they're winning game after game after game. I'm talking it's going to be crazy to see how they lose games, because they're going to.
But we just don't know
how. Yeah, because I think the bullpen improves. I hope the bullpen improves. You got guys like Josh Zide in the bullpen. Hopefully Jason Stoffel gets his chance. It's I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what it's gonna be. Maybe the starting pitching's gonna be terrible. I don't want to say this, but what if the hitting's bad next year? You know, these guys that were so dependable just go flat next year. I mean, I don't know what it is gonna be next year.
It's gonna be something. It's
gonna be something. We don't know what it is, but maybe they prove us wrong. Maybe they just lose games. You know, that's just the way she goes.
Mm-hmm. They just get outscored somehow. I mean, I don't know what. I don't know.
Some stuff happens in nine innings of baseball, and you just can't explain it.
Mm-hmm. Errors. Errors might haunt them.
Ooh.
You never know.
Ooh.
See?
I think that just might be it.
Mm-hmm.
Another, speaking of defense, you know what, one thing that makes me upset is defensive indifference. If the guy if the guy steals a base, he stole a base. It doesn't matter if the defense doesn't care. Defensive indifference is one of the biggest things that bothers me. I just don't know what it is. I mean, why can't you just give the guy what he deserved? It's not like the pitcher stopped, you know, called time and said, "Hey, you on first, go to second. I don't care about it." He had to earn that base. He had to earn that steal. It's a stolen base no matter what it is. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Defensive indifference does not count towards your steal stat, right?
No, it doesn't.
I hate. Why do they have to do that? I mean, the guy earned his steal. Give him the stat. I believe it was last night or two nights ago, Delino DeShields stole a base in the Jethawks game, and the scorer ruled it as defensive indifference. And that's one of the big things. That's kind of my pet peeve right now. So give the guy his stolen base no matter what the situation is. I don't care if it's a blowout. He earned his stolen base.
You know what bugs me? The bullpen.
All right, guys. So I think that just about wraps it up for us. If there's anything, you know, hit us up on Twitter at the Stros Bros, at Lee_White73, at Yoko Rick, and give Brian and Alex a follow at BHam_1973, 1978, something along those lines. He's an old man. And then Alex at Lex the Plex is pretty cool.
It's actually BHam2421.
2421. I was nowhere near on that one. Nowhere near on that one. Just Rick indifference on that one. Host indifference, podcast indifference. There you go. And one last shout out to the Sully Baseball Podcast. This guy's been doing it for 300 plus days straight. Almost at 300. He's almost at a year. At the end of the World Series, it will be a year. So if you haven't caught onto that, definitely go jump onto that because he does it every day. He puts in a lot of work to that. Really, really just puts in a lot of work. So definitely go check him out. This guy deserves the recognition. But just thank you all for being a part of this experience and being a part of what we love doing this podcast. Because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here doing this. So Lee, any closing words?
I got nothing.
All righty, guys. Well, appreciate you all. And we will see you next time.
Peace.